Senior Volkswagen officials are right now explaining how things went so wrong at the company. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. Just now in Wolfsburg, Germany, capital of Volkswagen, the head of the company's supervisory board and the CEO are facing reporters' questions about all the cars the company produced rigged to fool emissions tests. The BBC's Jonty Blum has been monitoring the proceedings. Morning, Jonty.
Good morning, David.
So what is the lead so far from this meeting with the media?
Well, I think the lead so far is basically Volkswagen have explained what went wrong. It goes back to about 2005 when Volkswagen decided that it wanted to sell far more diesels in the United States. And the problem was that the environmental standards in America are higher than they are in Europe. They had a team of engineers trying to work on that solution. They were under a lot of time pressure. And basically, they couldn't find a solution. And so they rigged the results. Now, that was in 2005, and even when technical solutions became available, they weren't introduced, principally because most people at VW didn't know there was a problem, because they thought they were already meeting the standards.
So, in other words, when the engineers solved some of these problems and perhaps didn't need to cheat anymore, the cheating may have continued.
Yes, it seems that that's the case. And a lot of the press conference was about how they're going to change their management, make it more responsible, introduce external controls and checks on what they're doing. But at the time, the management structure at VW was incapable of spotting what was going on. And that, I suppose, is the bigger scandal, that for a very large organization to have continued to produce something which was actually illegal and rigging the system and not know about it, indicates that there was something seriously wrong with the whole company and not just the engineers who came up with this illegal solution.
And it's still not exactly clear how VW plans to fix the cars that are out there in consumers' hands?
Well, it's actually clear in Europe because, as I said, the environmental standards here are slightly lower. But in America, they have not yet found a solution. In part, that seems to be because, as we keep saying, the environmental standards there are higher than they are in Europe. It's also because they've got to get it past the regulators. And they think they will have a solution fairly soon, but they're not going to announce anything until the American regulators have signed off on it.
All right. The BBC's Jonty Blum, thank you for this.
Thank you very much.
And here's a related hostage to fortune, as they call them. More than a year and a half before the emissions mess came to light, the senior VW executive in the United States told Reuters that the recipe for his company's success in North America is to change the mindset of the company's German headquarters. He was talking about VW learning to build cars Americans wanted to buy, but given VW's own assessment today, that statement from January 2014 reads now as darkly prescient. I spoke to business professor and crisis management expert Ian Mitroff, who says all of this could have been avoided.
If they had set up a crisis unit and that team had been given free leeway to sort out any brewing problems, showing the organization in its worst light, it would have cost infinitesimally compared to the $7 billion. But what we're really talking about, which is the root of all crises, is the organizational culture.
And what were you telling me about the guy who used to be a senior executive at, I think, GM?
There was an article by Bob Lutz in one of the car magazines, and Lutz ran several American car companies. He focuses on one of the early CEOs of VW, and he reports that this was a virtually take-no-prisoners kind of guy. If he said heads rolled, they did. So the culture was used to doing what this guy wanted, whether it was ethical or not.
But this is what I want to understand. I'm not trying to be deliberately naive, but there are actually big companies that would look around internally for that which might someday blow up and try to get senior management in advance dealing with stuff?
I can't mention the organization by name, but I'm working with one that has put in a system where the lowest ranking employee, if he or she sees a problem, can shoot it all the way to the top without being deemed or their career suffering. That has worked wonders for this organization because they have picked up on potential problems before they're too big to fix.
How did they end up being so wise, this mysterious organization?
Well, this mysterious organization, like a lot of organizations, suffered something really big and bad, and that's what prompted them into action, that they had to do things differently or they weren't going to be around.
Ian, what do you think about the role of the board of directors? There are some analysts who think that Volkswagen's board had become insular. The board is supposed to act as a kind of check and balance here, but I guess you could always keep the board in the dark regarding internal problems.
If you have a really effective crisis management team, one of the members of the team ought to be a member of the board or somebody who will report to the board. One of the things I always do when I do a crisis audit, I go into organizations and I try to assess their crisis potential. One of the key questions you always ask is, how is the bearer of bad news treated? Do you kill the messenger of bad news, or how is it? Because if you kill the messenger, people aren't dumb. They get it. Again, that's back to organizational culture. They pick on it real quick. They may not be Einsteins, but they're not stupid.
Crisis management expert Ian Mitroff is a professor emeritus at USC's Marshall School of Business and is now adjunct at UC Berkeley. He has a new book out called Dumb, Deranged, and Dangerous, A Smart Guide to Combating Dumb Arguments. Another story we're following today, in a coup for the state of Nevada, an electric car company backed by Chinese money says it plans to build a $1 billion factory outside of Las Vegas. The Associated Press says officials got a letter from Chinese billionaire Zha Jiuwenting with the decision. A news conference is scheduled for this afternoon. From Montclair State University today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.